So, okay, let's get into the Word of God. Let's get into our life here. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, and we'll continue to systematically go through the Word of God as we're doing. I don't feel guilty anymore about how long it takes, because it's just been getting good and better, taking it apart and just speaking to me. And I pray, and I know as it speaks to you as well, that the main thing we can do is, the best thing we can do is apply it to our life. Read it and apply it to live it. And I'll never forget what Pastor Bobby said. And I always, every time I read a portion of scripture, I always think about what he said when at the men's conference that we had, when he took his Bible and he says, "This is not out of your reach." The Word of God is not where we can't live it. It sounds like it, right? The Holy Bible. It's like, sounds like something you can't touch, or we were trained not to do that. We had a big family Bible. I mean, it was as big as me in front of the door and on our altar with the saints and everything. And I used to walk by it, and it used to scare me. And I don't know if you guys remember that Bible, but I always walked up, bless you. And I used to walk up and I used to always look at the pictures. And one picture that always stood out to me that really scared me was the one where John the Baptist got his head cut off, because it actually showed it, and it was kind of like, that scared me. It's not out of our reach. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. And we have him in our heart. And so we have the Word, and it's not out of our reach. So let's pray, and then we're going to pick up at verse 18. So, Father God, we do thank you for your Word. Bless it. Thank you for allowing us to be able to live the Word of God, be able to read it, be able to compare it in to our lives, apply it, Father. And we have the best example of all, and that's Jesus himself. And all the men and the women in the Bible, thank you that you didn't sugarcoat their faults. There's not one person in the Bible outside of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself was sinless, but everybody else had faults. Everybody else fell, and some were even great than we could ever imagine. And yet, you have their names written in the Word of God, just like you have our names written in your book. So thank you, Lord, for your Word. And may we always hunger and thirst for it. And we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. If you remember, recall last week we left off where Jesus, the 70 that he sent out to go and to cast out demons and to heal and to proclaim the gospel, which was the biggest thing of all. They returned and they were just so full of joy with the fact that God was able to use them and all the things they did. And that brought joy in Jesus's heart when they did this. But what brought him even more joy, now look at verse, let's start at verse 17, then we'll go right into 18. It says that then the 70, when they returned with joy, they said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And then Jesus said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Now, Jesus says he saw Satan fall like lightning. He didn't say he saw Satan fall from heaven. He said, "I saw him fall like lightning from heaven." So he tells them that when they were having this victory over these demonic forces, when they were healing people and demons were coming out, they were actually having victory over Satan himself. Because the meaning here, fall like lightning from heaven, it means falling from that height and that authority of power that Satan once had. He used to have authority. He used to have power. Remember, he was the head worship leader in heaven. In fact, he was very beautiful to look upon. Now he can only appear as an angel of light. You can think about what he looked like. You know, I don't even want to think about it. It's really bad. But he was right there with God. He was the head worship leader in heaven. And I think that's why he's always trying to cut in on us in our worship of God, because he knows what it feels like. He knows when you worship God what it does to you. It prepares your heart. It just puts you in that right setting to receive the Word of God. So he knows. And he fell from that. And the word that where Jesus said, I saw, that means when Jesus said he saw Satan fall like lightning, it means that he thought upon it. He gave his full attention to it. He contemplated it and envisioned Satan falling from his authority and power as the God of the prince of this world. And so this, really the success of the disciples against the demonic spirits was confirmation that Satan had fallen from his place of authority and power. And even though he's still powerful, you don't want to mess with him, obviously. I don't look for demonic people to cast out demons. I don't look for it. But if it does come in my path, I'm going to deal with it. And I have. I have only because God brought it into my path. But I don't go around and say, yeah, I'm a demon slayer. You see any demons around here? You know, I'm looking for demons. You know any? No. I stay away from that. Satan is powerful. And he's a deceiver. And don't ever think that. Even Michael the archangel wouldn't bring railing accusation against him. But, again, even though he still had power, he's now in that inferior position because he lost that position of the head worship leader in heaven. He lost that position up there. So Jesus, he actually saw the 70 disciples here. He saw them victorious over the forces of evil. And that was confirmation, and that was a sign that Satan was now beginning to be defeated. He was being defeated. And he saw that through the deliverance of demonic possession and the healing of many, especially the spread of the gospel of salvation, that was Satan's defeat. And you know, when Jesus goes to the cross, that will be Satan's biggest defeat ever. Praise God for that. And I think of Matthew chapter 16 when Jesus was asking his disciples, who do the people say I am? Simon, he said, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. And Jesus, he answered him. He said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Now, Peter ain't the rock that's going to build church. He's the small pebble. Jesus is the rock. He's the foundation. He says, on this rock I'll build my church. And guess what? The gates of hell shall not what? Prevail against it. Isn't that great to know? The gates of hell aren't going to prevail against the church, against Christ, against God. Jesus made that promise here. And that was that the forces of evil, of death and darkness, of worldliness, cannot prevail or conquer the church. Even when the church, when we're going through that dark and perilous times, such times as this, when the days are seem like they're discouraging, and whatever we're going through is discouraging, or you can't, like my grandson says, I can't seem to get a break. Never forget 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, where it says, you are of God, little children, and I have overcome them, because he who is in you is what?
Greater than he who is in the world.
Isn't that true? Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. He that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. Amen. And then look at verse 19. He also says, behold, and I give you authority to trample on serpents, snakes. But here, in, if you look up the word serpents in the Greek, it's talking about malicious persons, especially Satan. He gives us the authority to trample over malicious people and Satan. And he says here, and also scorpions. Well, you know, scorpions are pretty fierce little animals, right? They have eight legs and eight eyes, you know, and they have this long tail, and at the tip of that tail that's where they're the more fiercest, because they have this stinger, which is very, very extremely poisonous on some scorpions. And sometimes it's life fatal. You know, you can die from a scorpion's tail. Now, I remember one time I woke up real early in the morning. I was thirsty. I came in the kitchen of my house, and I live in outside of Lemon Grove. And something caught the corner of my eye, and I looked down, and I saw it was a little one. It was an actual scorpion. And I thought, how in the heck is a scorpion, what's a scorpion doing in my house, in my kitchen? And I didn't think anything of it. And I looked down. You know, those things are so fast. This thing started to run towards me. And man, I jumped up real high. I got my broom and I was hitting it with the broom and everything. And I couldn't kill this thing. Finally, I was able to kill it. But it was a little scorpion. And I'm thinking, you know, those little ones are the ones you need to fear more than the bigger ones. It's those little ones. But, you know, if you get stung by one that is very dangerous, you know, you can lose your life. So the meaning of scorpions here, when he says, I give you authority to trample over serpents and scorpions, the meaning of it is that in the Greek, it's talking about how a scorpion is able to pierce from its sting. And so Jesus is saying that we will be protected from the piercing or the sting of what? Look what it says, over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You believe that? Isn't that awesome? But I'll tell you what, we can say it now, but when rubber hits the road, can we honestly say it when we're up against situations? When things aren't looking good and things are just falling apart and they're not working out, can we honestly say, Lord, no, you said I'll be able to trample over serpents and scorpions and I'll have power over the enemy and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So I believe as a believer, we have power over all the enemies. And we can have perfect security in our faith. And that faith has to be in the Lord, knowing that he's in control. Amen. I know he's in control when things doesn't look good. Man, it just falls apart. You know, remember I told you I fixed my motorhome? How it's running now? Well, it already stopped on me twice. I got off the freeway. All of a sudden, I'm at the lights on the freeway right here. And I'm just singing to some Christian music. The light turns green and I'm pushing the pedal. And I'm thinking, why am I not going? I didn't realize it shut off. And all these cars, there's a big line, and they're all blowing their horns and honking their horns, and they're behind me, and I'm laughing. I'm just laughing. Because why? Because I know God's in control. There's a reason why. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm trying it as much, and it won't start. So I just sit there, and I turn on my emergency lights, and cars, they're just honking, beep, beep, it's turning green. All of a sudden, they start making this new path around me. And as they're going by, a couple people yelled at me, and they're honking the horn. I want to say, hey, can't you tell I'm broken down? What do you want me to do, right? But I'm laughing. I'm just sitting there, and I'm laughing. And then finally, the light turns red. So here I am. I'm like two cars away from the light. And you got a new lane of cars going like this, okay? And I'm right here. So finally, the light turns green. I turned it on. It started. I took off. So what did I do? I cut in on the line now. And so all these cars are going like here. Now they're really blasting their horn and they're really yelling at me. And I didn't care. I just wanted to hear. Twice it happened to me at the stop. I didn't even know it was off. But God's in control. And I know that. And I'm putting my faith in him, knowing that he's in control. And the word there, the words where it says power over serpents and scorpions. Guys, that can be taken literally. Literally. I mean, there's a literal meaning in the sense that God's purpose in our lives is what? To continue to use us, right? He wants to continue to use each and every one of us in this life, in our walk with him. And if so, then he's going to protect us no matter how big, how hard the threats are, how big the spiritual warfare is, or even when it hits us and you know, hits us where you know, we're not used to it. And I think if you really want to be encouraged, I'm going to encourage you this morning. You can read about Paul's life. I'm going to listen to what he went through and then compare what you go through in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Listen to what he says, because he's confronting the Jews here, because they were talking about how their father is Abraham and how they're, you know, they got the law and everything. And Paul says, are they Hebrews? I'm a Hebrew. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labor, more abundant. Listen to what he went through. In stripes above measures, in prisons more frequently, in death often. From the Jews I received 5 times. I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with a rod. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. a night and a day I've been in the depth. I journey often in perils of Gentiles, in perils in the city, perils in wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger, in thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. And beside the other things which comes upon me daily, my deep concern is for the church. Who is the weak? And I am not the weak. Who is made to stumble? And I do not burn with indignation. If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concerns my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is blessed forever, knowing that I'm not lying. In Damascus, the governor, the king, was guarding the city of Damascus with a garrison of men during desiring to arrest me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hand. So just think about everything that Paul went through. So if it was God's purpose for Paul to continue to be used as his servant and to protect them, he will do the same for us as well. I cannot compare my life with that. I didn't go through any of that stuff. Man, I'll scream if you hit me one time, let alone 39. No matter what the situation is, guys, no matter what the circumstances, the lives of his people are in his hands. And he looks after them. And when the Lord is ready to take you home to be with him, he will. No one can help that. He knows. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 tells us, what then shall we say to these things? Who knows what follows after without looking? Romans 8, 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God's for you, who can be against you? Nobody, nothing. Everything that Paul says, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Not even the serpents or the scorpions. Look what it says in verse 20. He goes, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in where? Heaven. Whew, I like the way Peter says it. God elected us. Jesus justified us. The Holy Spirit sanctified us. And it was all done through his power. And all we have to do is receive it by faith. And it's reserved in heaven for you. You know what that tells me? I don't need to do anything. They did all the work. All I have to do is receive it. All I have to do is believe it and accept it. And my name is written in his book. And it's reserved. I have a reservation in heaven. And I'm looking forward to the day when I get to step in and get my reservation. I'm going to pull up there and I'm going to say, oh, yeah, hey, all right, Steve. Okay. I don't see Steve. Stephen. Okay. I don't see a Stephen Morales. Oh, Stephen. It's on my license, Stephen. Gosh, I don't see Stephen. Wait. Aren't you Carmen's husband? Oh, yeah, I see it here. Okay, Carmen's husband. Yeah, because that's what I get a lot. Aren't you Carmen's husband? Yeah, I am. And that really drove me nuts when I went to the men's conference up in Twin Peaks. And I walked up there to get our name tags, because, you know, get your name written down. Do you think they would have said, hey, name, please? No. Oh, aren't you Carmen's husband? I'm like, really? Yeah, write that on there. I'm Carmen's husband. But she wouldn't do that. I told her, no, hey, write it on there, Carmen's husband. But she didn't do it. But anyway, so we can, you know, if God's for us, who can be against us? And he says, so nevertheless, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice in that, don't rejoice in the, that spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So as a laborer for Christ, you know, we are to rejoice, what? In our salvation. Aren't you excited that you're saved? It's like, when I hear about somebody dying, the biggest relief is the fact, the first thing I say, do they know the Lord? Yes. It just takes that big relief off my shoulders knowing that they are in heaven. Praise God. But I want to be sensitive, but guys, they're in heaven. That's where we want to be. As long as Jesus tarries, we will be about his business and we will share with others, but I want to be with the Lord. I can't wait to see all our loved ones. I can't wait to see my dad with legs, my mom not connected to a machine. I can't wait. I can't wait to get my new body. You guys know what I already asked for. I'm going to be 6'2" in the neck. I can't wait with hair. Man, I'm going to have that hair like that dude Fabian go like this. You know, it's going to go like this. Yeah, right. God's going to say, clippers. Yeah, you know. I tell Andy, I say, let's go shave our heads. And I said that to Tony. Tony, I tell Tony, come on, Tony, let's go shave our heads. He says, no, heck no. You Mexicans, you got perfectly round heads. But not us white guys, you know. You know. But anyways, again, if you're going to rejoice, rejoice in your salvation, not in the power of your gifts. Because the real basis for joy is not in power. It's in salvation. It's the privilege of knowing that, that you know what? It's God's grace. I'm saved by the grace of God. It's not ministry. It's not works. It's the fact that we are the children of God and we have been given eternal life. That is what should bring more joy to you than anything else. Amen. I'm just glad I'm saved. I'm glad when I take my last breath, I'm going to see Jesus. Yeah. And then after that, I'm going to see all my loved ones. And then after that, I'm going to see what Eve really looked like to see if this was all worth it. And if it isn't, hey, Adam, come over to my mansion. I want to talk to you. Blanket party. Boom. You know? No, we won't need to do any of those things. But rejoice in your salvation. And what I want you guys to do, look at the person next to you, and I want you to tell them that they are a child of God and to rejoice because their names are written in the book of life. Tell them that. Yeah. Yeah. Now, doesn't that feel good? Doesn't that just bring joy in your heart knowing that your name is written in the book of life? Well, I'm gonna tell you a secret. Nobody can take that away from you. Amen. Nothing can take that away from you. Amen. Once it's written there, God does not have an eraser. He doesn't have an eraser. The fact is, are you really saved? Did you really say that, made that commitment to God and receive Jesus Christ in your heart? If you did that, no one can take that away from you. I don't care how bad you stumble or how bad you are, what you've done. We're going to be perfect when we get to heaven. But I'm going to pursue holiness here now. That's what God wants. I think I know God wants us to walk by faith. And he wants us to live for him. But I think he's more interested in the fact that we finish our race and more than how we run it. Finish the race. Run well. If you start it well, end well. Because now is not the time for you to start well and end bad. He's coming back. So again, listen to what Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. Again, Paul says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. What's faith? Just believe it. And faith is as big as a mustard seed, so you just need a little bit of faith. Sometimes I think, okay, do I have that faith, Jesus, that you are asking for to believe that I am saved? Man, I do. What kind of faith? He says, just a little, just got to believe, a little mustard seed. The mustard seed's the smallest seed. Just believe it by faith. He said, by faith, you've been saved, and not of works, least, and it's not of yourself. It's a gift from God. God, not of works, at least anybody should boast. Don't ever compare yourself to someone else, guys. Don't ever say, well, I haven't done enough, or I haven't done anything like him, because that's the worst place to put yourself in, because don't compare yourself to anybody, because it just brings discouragement. And then don't ever see yourself better than somebody else, because that's only going to bring pride. Don't boast about it, for we are his workmanship, and we're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, that we should live in them. If you're going to compare yourself to anybody, compare yourself to Jesus, because that will really put you in your place. And then Jesus, he told the 70, he said, okay, you guys rejoice in what God has done for you guys. And then the same is true for us also. Think about all the things that the Lord had done for you right now. Think about all those good things and how many times he had blessed you, or he had saved you, or he's done something. Just think about that. Take a little time and think about that right now. And I want you to rejoice in that. Don't rejoice in what you've done. Rejoice in what he's done for you, especially in the work of salvation. It is so comforting to know that my name is written in the heavens. Amen. I'll be 62 in November. And I am a forefather. Okay? So if you're 70 and over, then you are Ancient of Days. If you're 80 and over, then you're just on borrowed time. Okay? That's the way I look at it. But we're in a very good position because our names are written in heaven. And some of you will live to be 100 probably. Some of you. I think Neil and them, they're very healthy. These guys are really, they're more healthy than me. You're going to live a long time. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because I want to be in heaven. My mother-in-law is going to outlive me. She's very healthy. She has dementia. Her mind's going, but her body is breaking down. I used to tell her, Ma, you're going to live longer than me, and she used to laugh at me, you know. But our names are written in heaven. Rejoice in that. Look at verse 21 now. And so after Jesus said this, he says, and then in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seems good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by the Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one thing to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. Can you imagine being there with Jesus and seeing the things he's seen? Think about the things you have seen that God did in your life or around your life, especially people getting saved. I think that is the greatest miracle of all, is a changed life. Being different, not being the same anymore. That came from God. That's being blessed. See, are the eyes which see the things that you see. Look at verse 24. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and had heard what you heard and have not heard it. So here in verse 21, look at verse 21. Jesus, he tells us to rejoice. It tells us that he rejoiced. He was excited. And in that word there in the Greek where it says that he rejoiced, it means he was filled with great joy and exaltation. It means he was filled with such a joy and a thrill of what he was hearing and what he knew had already happened. And this joy that Jesus was experienced was over the fact that there was victory over who? Satan. And the people were being delivered from Satan and being healed. I mean, that would bring joy out of anybody, especially the person who was delivered. Remember when you were delivered? What was that biggest bondage that you ever had? And God delivered you. How much joy you felt when that happened? Tears of joy? Excitement? Man, it's a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. And look at verse 18. And the fact that he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample over serpents and scorpions, over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I mean, doesn't it just bring joy to your life in Christ, knowing that nothing can take your salvation away from you? nothing can hurt your spot in heaven. Nothing. And you know what? And there's not going to be, oh, okay, I'm right here, and I'm what, 4,391 in line. Okay, you've been bumped down because, you know what, this guy, yeah, he washed more cars than you, so he gets, ain't going to be like that. You know, it's not going to be like that. Your spot is in heaven. It's already reserved. Rejoice in that. When you leave here today, rejoice that you're saved. And you can go out there in the world and the scorpions and the serpents and the enemy cannot harm you because you belong to God and you'll be able to trample over them. And if they even do mess with you, they can only do what God allows them to do. We got the Holy Spirit, the shield of Christ with us. You're right. But notice where that joy came from. Look at verse 21. It says that in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in what? In the Spirit. So where does the joy come from? The joy only comes from the Spirit. You can't be taught it. You can't conjure it up. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And this is what I mentioned before, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. It says, you love him even though you have not seen him. Though not seeing him, you trust him. See, that's faith. I personally haven't seen Jesus walking in the flesh. Okay? Jesus himself, I see Jesus through all you. And I love what Jesus says, hey, Thomas, show me the Father and it'll be sufficient. Well, Thomas, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So let me ask you this. If somebody came to you and said, hey, you show me Jesus, can you say, hey, if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus? Very convicting, huh? Very convicting. We should be able to say that because Jesus is in us. Or, you know, point them at least to Jesus. Point them, let them see Jesus. But Peter says here, though you've not seen him, you trust him. And even now you are happy with the inexpressible joy that comes from heaven itself. And you're further rewarded for trusting in him will be salvation of your soul. At the end of our faith is the salvation of our soul. 2 Timothy 1, 9, 10. Listen to what Paul said. He said, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Guys, I want to encourage you. You guys were chosen before even the foundation of the world existed. Isn't that great to know that you belong to God way before you even were thought of? He says this, but as now it's been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death, who brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It's a light through the gospel, through the word of God. We've been saved. And then last, Revelations chapter 21. This is where we're going to be. It's called the land of no mores. This is where Lou, Mike is, Joanne is, Floris is. This is where George, your dad and your mom. This is where my mom, my dad, those of you who lost your loved ones, this is where they are. They're in the land of no mores. Revelations 21, it says in verse 3, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That is what we have waiting for us. It is a joy of confidence, a joy of assurance that only comes down and it goes deep inside of us. It's deep in us. It's not a surface joy, a happy joy. It's a difference. It's deep inside. It's in the inner man and the inner woman. It's deep down in there. It's a joy of having victory over the fact that we won over evil. And knowing that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Jesus is in me. Whatever I'm up against, Jesus is in me. It doesn't matter. Jesus is in me. I belong to God. Whatever I lose, whatever I go through, whatever pain, suffering, I got pain in my leg. I've been having it for almost a year. But when every time this leg hurts, you know what I do? I pray for somebody else. Why? Therefore, I'm able to accept it. Okay, that's fine. When my leg hurts, I pray for a specific person. And you know what? Then I accept it. It's okay. I don't mind. But if I don't reamp my thoughts and I go, woe is me. Why can't I get a break? My pain. Whoa, I can't handle it. You're the great physician. No. I give it to the Lord. I rejoice over it because I get to intercede for somebody else who might need it more than me. But again, rejoice in the fact that we're victorious over evil. You know, we're victorious over anything that the world can throw at us. I mean, that's what's worth rejoicing over. And rejoice over the fact that the gospel is being carried throughout the whole world by his servants. You got it right in your I see it right there. I see the word of God in your lap. Rejoice in that you have the privilege as a servant of God to take it to the world. Take it to somebody else, to read it to somebody. Read it in your home. Read it to your grandchildren. Read it to your children. Read it to your neighbors. You know, I think also the fact that the gospel is being preached, that was another confirmation that Satan has failed because he can't stop it. Nobody can stop the word of God. And it's true and it's real because people died for it and they're willing to die for it. Let me tell you this. Would you die for a novel? Would you die for a book called Gone with the Wind? Oh, I love that. I'll die for this book. You would die for the word of God. I hope you would die for the word of God, right? Am I right or am I wrong? All right, I just didn't hear nothing, so I don't know. You know, I don't know. I never read Gone with the Wind. But let me tell you what I witnessed on Friday. I witnessed this young man. I was in my office, and I witnessed him and this young lady walking by the church. And they stopped and they were looking at the cross. You know the cross we have out there says Jesus has risen. And they're looking at the cross. But I could tell by their actions they were laughing, mocking it. And then they walked down to Wendy's posters and they stopped there and they were like looking at this one. And then they were standing and I'm watching them. Then the guy goes like this. All of a sudden he runs real fast back to the cross, grabs that cross. And he's like this. Holds it like this. He starts running back to his lady friend, and they walk off real fast. He gets in the car and takes off. Now, I could have easily jumped out of my window two stories and landed on top of him taking the cross back. I could have done that. I see it done on TV all the time. He would break my fall, okay? I get the cross back, run back and put it back in. But I kind of got excited about it. And you want to know why? Because when he took the cross and he was running with it, I prayed that it would end up in the arms of someone who needed it. I was like this. I was ready to open my window up and yell, hey! But instead I said, Lord, the way he was holding it like this and running, you know, Lord, let that cross fall into the hands or the arms of somebody who needs it. He took it. It's going to go somewhere else. Okay, it's going to go somewhere. Maybe somebody needs it. Someone needs to get saved. And I started rejoicing. I got happy. I said, oh, hey, that's cool. No biggie. Yeah, we'll put another cross up. It's going out. We can rejoice that the gospel's being spread. I loved it when I still got my cross on my lawn. It's in my front yard. It's been there for, I think, about a couple years, 3 years. And no one has done anything to it yet. They took my Trump poster, but they didn't take the cross, you know, when I put it up. But the cross is there. So that cross is going to go, so it's going to end up somewhere where somebody's going to get saved. And I'm going to leave you with this. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, listen to what he said. When he was talking to the children of Israel, when they went back to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and rebuild the priesthood and everything. And he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Listen, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your
strength.
The joy of the Lord is your
strength.
The joy of the Lord is your strength. Get the joy of the Lord. Get the joy of the Lord out. And so what I want to do right now, I'm going to end it. I want to pray for those of you who want the joy of the Lord. I'm going to ask that you stand up. I'm not going to tell you to come down or just stand up. I'm not going to put you on the spot. If you want the joy of the Lord in your life, maybe you felt that you haven't had the joy of the Lord in your life in a while. If you want to go back to that, your first love, and you want the joy in your life, I want you to stand up where you're at, and I'm going to pray that God will open the floodgate of heaven and from the land of no mores, that he will pour the joy of the Lord down upon you, that it will rest on you, and then when you leave here, you won't be the same the way you came in. I love it. Good. Everybody's standing up. Praise God. We all can use more of the joy of the Lord. Double portion of the joy. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, oh Lord. Lord, you are so perfect. I love the fact that you know us, Lord. You know everything we struggle with, everything that we're going through right now. And Father, we want to pray right now that you would open the floodgate of heaven and that you would pour out your Holy Spirit like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, like a tongue of fire that would come down and would rest upon each and everyone's head right now. And that the Holy Spirit would go to and fro throughout all these seats. And that you would fill everyone here with the joy of the Lord. And it wouldn't be a surface joy. It would be a deep-rooted joy in the inner man and the inner woman. And I pray that everybody would receive it by faith, not by feeling. I don't want anybody to say, oh, I feel the same, or I didn't feel anything. No, Lord, this has to be from you. It can't be from us, Lord. Because we're like double-minded people. We say, yes, Lord, give it to me, give it to me. I ain't going to give it to me. But when it comes from you, Lord, it is everlasting. It's real. So right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, pour out the joy of the Lord in each and everyone's heart. And Lord, bring them back to the first love relationship. And that very first day that they accepted you in their hearts, the joy of being delivered, the joy of getting our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life would now be upon them, Lord. Fill them with that joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Fill them with the mercies that are new every morning. Fill them with the grace that's unmerited. Fill them with the new living hope and the peace that passes all understanding. So bless them right now. Take and lift the burdens off of them. Jesus, you said, come unto me, all of you who are heavily laden and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you will learn of me and you will find rest for your souls. So give them that joy, that rest, Lord, knowing that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our names are written in God's book. It's the best book there is, because when we step into eternity, we are going to be full of joy and we're going to be greeted by those who have the joy of the Lord continuously and who are delivered and who are all the old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So bless everyone, Lord, and we thank you and we give you all the glory and all the honor, and may we express this joy and our thankfulness in how we say amen. So in Jesus' name, everyone said
amen.
Amen. All right, let's worship the Lord and praise God. Rejoice in the joy of the Lord.